Well, amen and amen. I greet you in the name of the Lord on behalf of our entire Bridge family. That means from here in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, all the way in Kampala, Uganda, where I was with our family just a day ago, and of course with our home family there on Kent Island in Maryland. What a blessed people we are. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? I just want the Lord to come and do what only He can do in us today. Father, I come in awe of you. So thankful for what you are doing in us and through us. May we remain ever humble and bold, all for your glory, and as always, and only by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I've come to bring you a message from the mission field. And next week, we'll pick back up with our series entitled Hold On, and we'll go through Hebrews chapter 8 as we walk through the book of Hebrews. But today, I want to first ask the worship team, if you would, at the end of this message, go back to the song that we sang in the worship set, Hold Us Together. I think you'll find before we're done, in looking at the book of Titus and what God is doing in and through our Bridge family, that song not only brings glory to God, but it reveals what God is doing in us. And so let me just tell you, we're going to look at the book of Titus today. I've realized we've gone through Titus as a series that I've entitled Live the Truth. And we began in 2016. It was actually on September 11th, 2016, that we began that 16-week series. And I want to encourage you after today to go back and go through Titus. But today, I want to do what we have not done here as a Bridge family, and that is go through Titus in its totality. I want to share with you how I see God at work in us and through us, as revealed in the book of Titus. For those of you that are not familiar, let me just give you a little bit of context, and then we'll jump right in. You see, the book of Titus is written by God himself through the inspired work of the Apostle Paul to Titus. Now, Titus has been sent to the island of Crete. The Christian church at this point is about 30 to 35 years old, and it's already a mess. Already we've seen false teachers perverting the churches. We see people who are being confused and misled. But we also see God at work. It's very much like our time today in our context. Crete now, Crete was like Vegas without the restraint. Crete was Sin City magnified. And if you think about it, again, whether you're in Kampala, St. Johnsbury, on Kent Island, live in Annapolis, we live in a modern-day Crete. The world is a mess. And many of the churches were adding to the mess. And now Paul is writing to Titus and saying, Titus, you'll see in a minute, I'm sending you to Crete to put that mess in order, to get the church back on track, to be the family of God. And what we'll see today, through what God is doing in our family in Kampala, through what God is doing here in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, through our family, through what God is doing there on Kent Island, through our family, and what God is doing all around the world, is He's taking this short letter, three chapters, 46 verses in total, 14 commands embedded in these 46 verses. God is laying out a blueprint that's saying, first, if you're my family, I want you to pray and obey. Be my people. Be the church. Live the truth that I have taught you. I want you to start asking these questions every single day of your life. Who am I all about? What is the purpose of my life? Where does this apply? Everywhere. When does this apply? All the time. Who, what, where, when? Why do I even exist? Why am I engaged in these commitments? And how in the world am I supposed to do it? This world is such a mess. You just said it. How? Well, the letter that we know of as Titus answers the who, what, where, when, why, and how. And it's for the express purpose of not teaching us all of God's word, but showing us how to live, to learn, to love God and his word as his people. And so in using some of Pastor Charlie's last two sermons, which were beautiful, to understand the love of God for we as people, and to love how we as people are to love God by loving his people and serving the world. Today we'll pick right up from where Pastor Charlie left off. You see, the book of Titus, like every other letter in the Bible, it's a love letter. It's a love letter from God to his people on how to love him and love the world, to be the people that God wants us to be. In fact, listen to verse 1 of Titus chapter 1, and then we're going to jump in. This is going to be a day where I pray that you'll grasp God's gospel and God's word through illustration and application of this word. It's in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, where God's word says, Paul, a slave of God and an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith. Why? For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. If you think you've got truth and it doesn't line up with godliness, it's not truth, it's a lie. If you think you're here to get people into a building instead of get people into the presence of Almighty God, you've missed the point. If you think it's about some kind of a twisted story and not the truth, you've missed the point. Now, this has been at the heart of Pastor Charlie's last two sermons, teaching us about the love of God and the love of God's people. And last week, he closed by sharing with you a portrait of what God is doing in and through our family in Kampala, Uganda, to bring to light that if you love him, you'll live for him. If you've been saved, you've been sent. If you are truly being sanctified, that means that you're a slave of Almighty God. You're not just a servant. Servants serve. Slaves are owned. We were blood bought. Friends, last week, Pastor Charlie shared with you at the end of the message the closing of a video that I created a year ago to see a portion of what God is doing in Kampala, in the slums. And you heard from our brother Moses, and you heard from our brother Francis. Well, I want to share with you to begin today in the spirit of verse 1 of chapter 1, the whole of that video, to see where God called us and where we're being drawn in to be the church in the inner slums of Kampala, Uganda. Watch this and see what God is doing to call us to be the family of God. Of God, known as the Bridge, comes to you from America, from Uganda, from wherever the children of God are. They come to you, the children of Kampala. I want you to know that all of the family of God loves you because our Father God loves you too. There is not a single one of us here today that God does not love. We bring hope to you from heaven, where our Father lives and loves you. He said, for God so loved the world, the children of Uganda, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die that we could live and have eternal life. If we believe in him as God, then we will be God's children.
Katonda okwagala ensi bwatu yatuwa omwana we omubwati nje anamukiriza aleme okuzikirira anamukiriza nga Katonda aleme okuzikirira kubanga atwagala fe abana b'ensi Uganda.
I want you to know that you don't only have to be the children of Uganda. You can be the children of Almighty God. We pray to God in heaven and we say, God, please be our Father as we trust in your Son. This gift of life is a gift that is free. It is a miracle that God gives to his children.
Drought, most of all fear, I said, stay clear, you may not steal me away.
I'm asking a question for the bridge, Uganda, that what could we do to have a church here? Because we want to have a church here so that we could be going on through the Bibles, through knowing the, you know, shafters. You know, people can give us a word of God, but it's in the Bible. We cannot get it because we take time without really going through Bible. So what could bridge Uganda, if possible, we could make for us church here in Senyi, so that we work with these children and we be with them and we give them a good mentality in how they can change their mindset to become a righteousness children in the world of God. That's my question. What really could we do?
Okay, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Are you asking me to send you money, or are you asking me to send you the church?
I'm asking you to send for us the church in Kisenyi, so that we work hand in hand with Uncle Moses, and we see that in Kisenyi, at least in a week, we can get the word of God. People can get changed, because this is a most complicated community. It's full of complicated background of people. So we see like the years I've spent here, like 10th year, I have seen a lot of activities happening. Then I feel like if possible, the Bridge family could come here and we do something in this community.
And would you be a servant leader with us?
Yes, exactly. That's my vision.
Amen.
Amen.
We would like to come and share with you the word of God. We are going to give you hope, only hope in Christ. It's all about the Bible, and it's only and only about the Bible. The hope is in God, and it's God we are going to bring. Nothing else but God. Please note, we are not going to bring a building here, or we won't promise food, but it can be food for the heart or for the mind, but it's a church, is the people. So that's what we promise, that we are going to be with you. Church is the people. Nothing else but we, the people, we are going to join you. Then we grow together as God leads us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I know if you're part of our Bridge family, you say, we've learned this already. Well, I want to remind you in the spirit of Titus. You'll see chapter 3, verse 1 in a minute. It says, remind them. But let me just show you God is at work. Why? Because we're pursuing him. We want his word, his will, and his ways to come alive in us and through us. And because of that, this dream of Francis Okello is becoming the reality of God through the family and the people of God. Now, please hear, this sounds like a call to Crete. It sounds like a place that would be similar to Crete. That's a hard place to go, Pastor Jeff. St. Johnsbury, Vermont, it's a hard place to go, Pastor Jeff. Let me tell you, when we were in Louisville, Kentucky, Kent Island, Maryland was a hard place to go. Every place where the war is alive and active, which, by the way, is the whole planet, the spiritual warfare is alive and active, and wherever you've been called to go, it's going to be a hard place. But if you're a slave who's been sent and set apart, you see, this is the message of chapter 1. Let's read Titus chapter 1 and understand the three chapters. Chapter 1, it's all about be real. And you're going to see the real lovers of God, the real leaders of God, and the real liars who are fighting against God. Chapter 2, it's about be righteous. And you're going to see divine discipleship laid out, how to live. What does the Christian life really look like? In chapter 3, it's be ready. And you see the engagement of this warfare. Chapter 1, it's the truth. Chapter 2, it's the love. Chapter 3, it's the hands-on readiness of real spiritual warfare lived out. If you would, read with me Titus chapter 1. Paul, a slave of God, and an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. And at a proper time, he manifested this in his word through preaching, through proclamation, through declaring God's truth and love. with which I, and pray, Christian, that you can say this, with which I, like Paul, have been entrusted. You've been entrusted with the truth to declare and to proclaim by the command of God our Savior. It was Jesus who said, go therefore into all the nations and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded. He says, this is to Titus, my true child in a common faith. This is to the one who, like me, loves God, has a father, and while I led you to him, we are brothers in Christ. Verse 5, here's the purpose of this letter. This is why I left you in Crete. And I said to Moses as I was leaving, to Francis Okello, I've said to Pastor Charlie, I've said this to Pastor Mike, I've said it to the elders of our church, to the ministry leaders of our church. I have left you in Crete so that you might put what remained into order. You are to make what God has called for the reality as best you can, to live out a witness as a leader who loves God, loves people, and serves the world, to put things in order and to appoint elders, to appoint leaders in every town as I directed you. Note the relational authority here. If anyone is above reproach, and now we're going to see, we've seen this real lover. Paul's a portrait of a real lover of God. Now we see the real leaders of God. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. You see, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word of God as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who do not hold, those who contradict sound doctrine. For there are many, not just a few. Now we're going to see the real liars. Again, we're defining the reality of the day. For there are many who in this place and in ours who are insubordinate. They refuse to follow the leadership of God. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and they're deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. We could connect this to the churchy religious people. They must be silenced. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. My brothers and sisters in Uganda said, this is the predominance of what we see. They're doing there exactly opposite of what God's word calls for. And I say to you, look around. Anyone who is willing to teach or preach what goes against God and his word, his will, and his ways for selfish personal gain or preservation is a false teacher, one for which this warning applies. He says they must be silenced because they are upsetting or destroying entire households or families by teaching for shameful gain, selfishness, what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, this is now a quote from a poet from about 500 years earlier. That poet said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. You may have to rebuke these liars and false teachers sharply so that they'll be restored through repentance and come back to the truth, as opposed to devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth, that you not allow those who are following leaders who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. Note, these are leaders in the church. These are leaders in the church. And it was just as true in Crete as it is today. They are leading people astray. They profess, this is verse 16, not my commentary. This is God's word. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Here's the warning. Be real. You got to start off by defining reality. Know what a lover of God looks like. Know what a good leader for God looks and lives like. And know what the liars really look and love like. They don't love God. They love themselves. They're not serving Him. They're serving themselves. They're not leading and feeding God's sheep. They're redirecting and manipulating the goats in the church. Friends, if you think that you have a good minister, if what he's doing is managing mannequins, you're wrong. A true missionary leader is going to help to mature those fellow missionaries that want to serve the Messiah. We've got to start by knowing the reality. You don't become the bride of Christ building a life on a lie. Now, let's go to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, you're going to see divine discipleship. And here, if we've defined reality in chapter 1, chapter 2 is going to give us a description of restoration. You're going to see what living the love looks like. And verse 1, here it is. But as for you, so here's a contrast, don't be like them. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Teach truth in love. I want to show you again from the slums of Kampala, from our bridge family there in Uganda. This is happening. It's happening. I pray that you're seeing it here in St. Johnsbury. I do, as I watch some of you grab a hold of the truth and the love of God. And as I watch God grab a hold of you and you begin to share, you're not making empty promises. You're not building a people built out of potlucks. You're leading people to Jesus the Christ, and you're saying, pick up your cross and follow him. I will help you along the way. We will help you along the way. We'll be the family of God, but we are the family that is united in the truth and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you explain to him why you are here and how you're helping is for the hands, but you're aiming for the heart?
I was asking him how does he feel since he met Epi. We are not here because of giving him a work, but we are here to empower him with the gospel of our Lord Christ. And I want him to answer me, and you get it too. How does he feel in his heart, living out the work is now, because he's supported physically, but inside, emotion, how does he feel?
Aneda, omanyo liyangu kuyamba, nenga akuyamba, okuempowering nganti, kukola chikuwa hapo, nenga tachikunzo kumutima kwe.
He's telling us that it's the only Lord, which is helping him. He knows that it's not we, but it's the Father from the heaven who sent us from nowhere to come and support him from the slum. So I think that is all right, because God is doing a miracle starting from him through us, and we are so glad. This is kind of a great achievement in the house of the Lord. Amen.
And also, let's say what I was trying to explain to him, that it's not all about, it's not good to empower the person maybe with skills, but if you show that it's all about love and that this is done out of God's love, then it's more than just providing a skill without a good heart from God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to him, that we are not doing because we want you to do this, but again, all goes back to our heart, that God is using us not only to support you physically, but also want to share you the word of God, so that you have peace in your heart, because that's the most important, knowing God.
Amen. Thank you very much. Can you tell him that it's my prayer that he'll be a part of our bridge family?
Pastor.
era asaba nti lumu
lumu ojja olokoke okute mulokole omuntu ng'amanyi Katonda ekitegeera
enekano namunaye yayamba so sigwe yefuula Katonda yakuyamba. So I was trying to explain to him that it's not him but it's just God who makes the miracle. And we'll be excited if he joins, if God captures his heart and then he's able to join our family.
Amen.
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 Amen. So this is what happens when you live out the reality of the truth of being a lover of God, a slave who's willing to go to the hard places and bring truth and love. Did you hear about the miracle? Not, hey, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart and go to heaven? Sure, I do, I do. No, are you willing to lay down everything? Do you realize that you're a sinner in need, desperate need of the only hope that comes through the miracle of God's saving grace? You don't get to pick him. He chooses you and then you accept the gift. Did you hear the clarity? The clarity of the call. Do you know, Francis said to me that in the previous video, from a year ago, he said, I was introduced to God, but it wasn't until I heard the true gospel when you and Griffin and Moses were here. He said, on that day, as I cried out to the Lord after having one of my friends die that night after you left, I said, Lord, if this is what you have, if you don't love me, let me just die. This life is too hard. And he said, God spoke to me and said, no, Francis, this is not your time to die. This is your time to lay down everything and come to me. I love you. And Francis said it was in that video context. He said, that's when the miracle came to me. And so now he has a passion for God's mercy and grace. He knows the truth that has set him free. He said, I knew about God, and there were many who came and told me stories about God, but nobody introduced me to him on his terms. And now Francis is living this out every day. As best he can, imperfectly, just like me, just like you, but passionately, you can see it. The promise was not here, we'll make you a blacksmith, which is what they did. It was the promise is in the hope of Jesus Christ. And if you're real, you're going to live it. And so you're going to do the both and of helping, but aiming first and always for the heart. Because if we give you work for your hands and knowledge for your head, but the miracle of God's grace doesn't change your heart, you'll be a well-employed person who went all the way to hell without Christ. Now, as we read through, let's read chapter 2 and see what this looks like. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Notice here, we're going to see older men, older women, younger men, younger women, slaves or servants, those who work. The point is, everybody is included here. And listen for the description of what the holy Christian life looks like. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in perseverance. Older women likewise. So everything that you heard applies, plus you're to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not gossips, not those who tear down. Or you're not to be slaves to much wine. These women are to teach what is good and to train the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children, how to be self-controlled, to be pure, working hard at home, being kind, being submissive to your own husbands. That, why? So that the word may not be reviled. There's nothing worse for a lost husband than a hypocritical wife. And there's nothing worse for a lost wife than a hypocritical husband. I've seen men who claim to love Christ that push their wives so far away from God, there is hardly any hope. See the call on our lives. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works. A model of good works. Don't talk the talk, walk the talk. And in your teaching, show integrity. Show dignity. And be sound in speech so that what you say cannot be condemned, so that any opponent of you will be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. So your employer, if you work for somebody, you are to be submissive to your employer, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. At work, your life at work should show the gospel of Jesus Christ. wherever you are, old, young, fat, skinny, black, white, local, distance, it doesn't matter. You show the love and the truth of God in the way that you live. He says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. The good news of the gospel is an invitation to everybody, a transformation for those in whom the miracle of God is applied. Training us, this gospel is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. So when the false teachers tell you that God wants to give you all these worldly things, it's going against the word of God. He says you're to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself for us, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Why did he redeem us? To purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Friend, are you zealous for good works? Not are you willing, are you zealous? You see, Christ purified, redeemed, adopted, blood-bought a people who are zealous for his good works. What do you do with these good works? Verse 15, you declare these things. You declare this truth in love. You exhort and rebuke with all authority as needed. Whose authority? Jesus' authority. Matthew 28, 18. For all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded. Whose authority is Paul talking about? It's Christ's authority. Christians live with Christ's authority. You need to get used to that. As an ambassador of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, you have his authority. Now go, declare these things. In the end of verse 15, let no one disregard you. How? By the way you live. Now, let me connect chapter 2, this description of restoration, with another video from Kampala. This one's going to throw you a little bit of a curve. I'm going to ask you about the Boda Boda, the Boda Boda gospel. In fact, let me just show you and then we'll come back.
I have to become a missionary. I have to spread out the word, the good news of our Lord. I will be able to reach to people one by one, and I share with them the love of God, how the family, children of God, how they live, how the family of God lives.
So how do you declare these things? Well, if you're in Kampala, Uganda, and your name is Francis Okello, maybe it is with the gift of a Boda Boda, so that you can go anywhere and everywhere. When? From 6 a.m. to noon, and then again from 6 p.m. to 8. And in between, maybe you live in the slums and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe this is how you begin and bring up a sustainable church. The people, not a building, the people of God. You do as Paul. You go to Crete as a slave. You say, I'm here to bring the truth and the love of Christ to the elect. Well, which ones in the slums are the elect? We don't know. So we bring to all and we watch God. We invite all and we invest in the few who respond. This is living ready, being ready, and maybe, just maybe, our Bridge family grows by investing in a person of peace. You see, there are some that say, no, you got to be attractive. You got to throw the carnival. I come back to you today more convinced than ever that we are right on God's path. His narrow way. You go and you seek out the persons of peace. Christine met Moses at a Kmart parking lot as he was 7,000 miles from home. And after a year of correspondence, began to disciple. And we began to Skype and pour into Moses. Moses then in turn has begun to pour into Francis. Francis has in turn now begun to go to those children and people in the slums, as you saw earlier, and teach and preach the word of God with living, loving hands, the both and. This is what's happening. Listen to verse chapter 3. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. You see, chapter 3 is be ready, live ready. You need to remind people if you are going to live ready. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be obedient. That's not a bad word. That's a blessed word. To be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Well, I don't know about the good work there in Kampala, Uganda. I just like it here at home. Well, listen, friend, you need to be ready for the good work here at home, there regionally and there globally. This is the word of God. This is who we are, Bridge family. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy to all people. The unlovely people need the love of God to all people. Now listen to verse 3, because here I'm so inspired by Moses, by Francis, by Pastor Charlie, Pastor Mike, by many of you here. I'm seeing God do this work in and through our family members. Listen to verse 3. You see, I've embraced Titus for a long time. Only recently has chapter 3, verse 3 grabbed my heart. It's humbled me. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. We have to remember to bring the gospel with empathy. If you don't remember who you were, you won't be who God's calling you to be. I've said to you before, if you don't understand the grace of God, you'll never live for the glory of God. I want you to see what I saw this week in the inspiration that Francis Okello has brought to me from God himself to be a part of our family, to see God at work. Watch this.
I've been thinking about something to do, but I did not know that God has pointed me. You see, it makes my mind to run back to what Pastor Jeff, you told us, that you teach us about Titus, how the leaders must be, how we must spread out the gospel news to those who are in need of the gospel news. I'm so interested. I would like to start up sharing this gospel news in the slums with our fellow friends, the fellow citizens of the community, so that they should know the real God. I heard in Titus, he talk about the liars, people who are pretending to be like they are working for God, and yet they are working for other demons. So I'm going to be confident, and I will keep praying God to give me the power, so that whatever things I will do, as we say, that pray and obey always lead. So I think my prayers will lead me to do the right things at the right time. And I believe that success must be in the slums. For those who are the lost beginning, they don't know the right ways of Lord. And I'm so excited because that's what I asked last time, the first day, the first time you come. And I know that is a great achievement, because that comes from my heart to ask that we need a church in this slum, so complicated. And I'm so excited to be like, this time we shall be, you know, impacting these people with that real love of God, showing the real family of God, showing them that they can change and follow up the ways of the Lord, our Christ, because he has died for us. Though we are a sinner, sins is everywhere, but also we have to be kind in the ways of Lord. If you're doing things, you have to do it right at the right time. How? You have to put prayers first. You have to pray Lord to lead you in whatever things you're doing. Because if you're sharing the gospel, as you said, the gospel is something special. It's not just a news of the radio station. It's not a news, but it's a news from our Lord Christ, which has died for us on the cross. As I've been telling you, Pastor, people are so crazy. People are mind-minded. People are, you know. But I think that God point me all the way from 332 kilometers northern Uganda. I live on the street for almost a long time. But I never know that God was taking me on his way. But I can realize, because I couldn't believe that you come from America all the way to Kampala, and then you come and you meet me with Moses, and then, you know, things like this make my mind how you meet and how we meet in the first beginning with Auntie Christine. So this one made me to realize that God is calling me. He's calling me. Christ has called me as bring me. Now I reach to the Messiah. I will be working with my friends. I will be sharing the gospel with them. And I believe that with God, I will share only the good news for the Lord Jesus Christ. I explain. M's, the small M, we have three M. Then there's a big M in the middle. This big M is very important. And then before M, the first M is a miracle. That miracle is when God created you with something inside you where you will never forget him. So him is a miracle. That's a miracle I had, which has taken me to the Messiah. And then from a Messiah, I have to become a missionary. I have to spread out the word, the good news of our Lord. And I'm really interested in whatever you've been teaching us, because it's so interesting, it's all in my mind. And I believe that while I will keep revising myself in the Bible, I will be able to reach to people one by one, and I share with them the love of God, how the family, children of God, how they live, how the family of God lives. We always stay in love. We always have to care one another. And that is sounds so, so exciting for me and for my Lord. Because the Lord has created me. I never know that I could come from Guru and then I reach here. It's something crazy, you know. It's making me like, oh my God, you love me. And every time I say, God, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, the miracle, Messiah, and then missionary. That is a MMM.
Amen.
Amen.
Help us now to show the world how awesome you are. And we thank you for what you have done in Tapista and Francis. In Jesus' name we pray together.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And grace my fears.
Once again, we have the opportunity to celebrate in the waters of baptism here in Lake Victoria with our brother Francis, who wants the world to know that Jesus the Christ has saved his soul.
Amen.
Francis, in your own words, why are we here?
I'm here to show out to the public that Jesus Christ has put on me a miracle. I'm now with the Messiah. I'm going to send out to the community, to the people, as a missionary, spread out the word of Lord.
Amen. Amen. Francis, you know that this does not make you a Christian. We are here because you are a Christian, yes?
I am a Christian.
And are you willing to follow Jesus wherever he sends you, no matter what?
I'm ready to follow my Lord wherever he sends me, no matter what.
Amen. Amen. Well, Francis, now Moses and I have the great honor and privilege, our brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes.
Woohoo!
Hey. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God who put the same concern for you into the heart of Titus.
Katonda bawebaza okuberanga otegedde kituufu. Ekigambo kya Taita seyo nakirabawo naye manyi lwaki nayagala kubasheeringanako. Pastor yava tusomera last week ekigambo kya Taita. Naye waliwo bingi nnyo kyakwekera kitayogerangako mu kyaki endala. Kiri nti Katonda akulaga loza pastor abadde ageza kubanyonyonyola ere. Miracle ye omwoyo mutukufu. Tegeza Taita yayogera ebintu bingi. Nga nawe oyina kubeera nga otwalayo n'ogimwawo oli alikubwetaavu buli muntu ali kubwetaavu ne ogendamuwawo oli obuyambi ntya buli muntu mulwadde mu lubuto mu mitima naye ogenda mujanjaba otya ogenda mujja mukuba CCC5 nga alwadde malaria oba ogenda mutwala mpolampola banana booluganda bebaza nnyo okubanga abamama bange leero mbaku banyonyoddemu ekintu kiri ne mukitegeera mangulo. Bampita Brother Okello Francis era tuli abaana ba Katonda era amanya g'amaka gaffe bagiyita The Bridge Family.
He has been discussing about the book of Titus, what he discussed early this week, and then he was telling them that most pastors don't talk about this book. But it's the truth, it's the summary. If you read and understand it, you will know how a true Christian should behave. And then he was referring to what you've been saying the whole of this week. He really summarized it so well for them.
Amen. Now you've met Brother Francis Okello, and you see, did you notice? Chapter 1 is the real reality. In the first video, he's telling the truth. Chapter 2, be righteous. In chapter 2, we hear about the love of God that will follow the Lord, not just into the waters of baptism, but to wherever he may lead. Chapter 3, be ready. Do you see? 90 minutes after his baptism, Francis is out preaching and teaching the word of God. And did you see, when the Boda went by, he didn't get distracted for a second. He was right on mission. You see, today I bring to you the book of Titus. Let me just close out chapter 3, picking up in verse 4. And I pray you're seeing the book of Titus. And you don't have to watch the videos. Look around you. Look around you, Bridge family. You see, this is being the church. It's being the body of Christ. It's being the family of God. Verse 4 of chapter 3, and we'll close out here. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy in the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly. We've been poured out upon richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. Verse 8 is perhaps the greatest summary of the entire book. This is trustworthy truth, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Devote, not do occasionally, but be careful so that you're devoting yourself to these good works of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These things are excellent and profitable for people. You're not pistol whipping people into obedience. You're offering them the love and the blessing of walking with the King on the narrow path to heaven. But be careful. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, those that will go off track, that will leave, that will take others away, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, listen very, very closely, because this one's going to test your heart, and you're going to need steel in your spine. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then again twice, have nothing more to do with him. Well, that sounds unloving, Pastor Jeff. No, that's the most loving thing you can do. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. You do this so that they'll realize they need Christ. They need to be in the family of God. Now, I close with that, the very essence of the family of God and the blessing and the need for the family of God. Listen to what most will tell you is, oh, this is just the closing of the letter. I want you to see the family of God, the relationships that are at the heart of what it is to be the church. When I send Artemas and Tychicus to you, so note now Paul, number one, sending Artemas and Tychicus, number two and three, to Titus, that's number four, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. So, oh, Titus, by the way, you come back to me, okay? For I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. Oh, two more. You, Titus, do the best on my behalf to send Zenas and Apollos on their way. Oh, you're sending out more. Well, I'm Paul, I'm living sent. I sent you, Titus, and now we have two more that are coming to you. Oh, and two more that you are sending out. Make sure that they have everything and they are lacking nothing. And let our people learn, okay, so let everybody else there in Crete, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. So it's not just the leaders, it's all of us devote to good works. And note, there's an us, there's a family. So as, so here's why, to help in cases of urgent need. Let me ask you, when was the last time you stepped into an urgent need? Say, well, Pastor Jeff, I live in this comfortable cocoon. I'm not familiar with urgent needs. Let me tell you, there are urgent needs all around us. All around us. To help in cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. We're loving, saying, you do not want to show up at the gates of heaven unfruitful. Say, why? I've got the grace card. Well, if you have the grace card, you're going to want to have fruitfulness with you. And if you don't care, then I doubt that your card is valid. No, that's not to say that you have to show up with fruit to get in. We have 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 that tell us that some are going to come into heaven sliding under the gate with their fanny smoking. You're going to just barely make it in. And let me just tell you, friend, you do not want to aim for that door. Here, we want them to be fruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. I just show you this closing paragraph because it's a beautiful family portrait, an active family portrait, what a family of missionaries, what the Bible calls the church. There is not a group that live as missionaries and then the rest of us. There's not those who actually follow Jesus and then the rest of us. This is us. This is the family of God. I brought Titus to our Ugandan family because there's been some struggle there, just like there has been in Maryland, just like there has been here in Vermont. And to remind you that this is God's blueprint. This is for everybody. Remember, man, woman, old, young, fat, skinny, black, white, Ugandan, USA, doesn't matter. This is for everybody. So it's just for the leaders. No, it's for all. See, at the end, this is for everybody. Yes, it helps us to learn the reality of those real lovers of God, those real leaders for God, and those real liars who are deceived and deceiving. It gives us the blueprint for what the family of God looks like, chapter 2. Then it tells us how to be ready to live out day in, day out, chapter 3. I pray this blesses you. It reminds you of who we are as the family of God and where we're going as the family of God and why we are the family of God and whose we are as the family of God and where the family of God lives and when the family of God lives and why the family of God is alive and how we live. This is Titus. It's divine discipleship. It's God's blueprint for the believer. It's the family portrait of God. It's not the only one in the Bible, but it's a great little 46-verse, 3-chapter portrait of the family of God. I want to leave you before the worship team comes back up and leads us again in what it is to be united in the love of God. I just want to show you a little overview of all of what I've shared with you and what God has done this week. Father, I pray now that those that have heard and those that may hear in the future we'll see not just through the book of Titus, not just through the example of one week, but through you in us, through you coming out through us, that out of our love for you and your people, our commitment to serve you and the world, that others will come to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Maybe this day, this people, this commitment to you, maybe it will bring eternal dividends. All for your glory and all by your grace. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. After this video, the worship team is going to come, and I just pray that you're never the same after today.
Christine. So this one made me to realize that God has called me. He's calling me. Christ has called me. Has bring me. Now I reach to the Messiah.
Can you tell him that it's my prayer that he'll be a part of our Bridge family?
Pastor.
So I was trying to explain to him that it's not him, but it's just God who makes the miracle. And we will be excited if he joins, if God captures his heart and then he's able to join our family.
Like, he's telling us that it's the only Lord which is helping him. He knows that it's not we, but it's the Father from the heaven who sent us from nowhere to come and support him from the slum. So I think that is all right, because God is doing a miracle, starting from him through us. And we are so glad. This is kind of a great achievement in the house of the Lord. Amen.
And also, let's say, what I was trying to explain to him, that it's not all about, it's not good to empower the person maybe with skills, but if you show that it's all about love, and that this is done out of God's love, then it's more than just providing a skill without a good heart from God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain to him, that we are not doing it because we want you to do this, but again, all goes back to our heart, that God is using us not only to support you physically, but also want to share you with the word of God so that you have peace in your heart, because that's the most important, knowing God.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
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 Thank you.